to our UK correspondent Hugo Jai. Hello, Hugo. What is happening now with the Prince Philip's? We know that he's having a much smaller send-off than might otherwise have been happening, his funeral on Saturday. What is happening with the period of mourning?
Yeah, so there's a national 9-day period of mourning. At the start of it, politicians said they were going to sort of take the lead and avoid getting into any sort of partisan fights to try and honour the sort of national mood of respect towards Philip and the royal family. Got to say, it hasn't entirely worked out that way. Became very quickly clear that the politicians couldn't sort of stop bickering for a week. But there is still a mood of that's sort of relatively somber in some ways. But as you say, the strange thing is it's happening without the grand ceremony that historic events like this would usually have, because of the COVID rules that still make it impossible for sort of big public events that that you would expect, such as lying in state and sort of public gatherings to mark the Duke's life. So it's a historic sort of week, but a particularly strange one as well.
It is, and doubly strange, I guess, with lockdown ending and people literally emerging, and what, with some enthusiasm for the bars and for the hairdressers.
Yeah, well, exactly. Those are exactly the two things that have really been booming this week. It's our biggest sort of step forward out of lockdown yet. The reopening of outdoor hospitality, sort of beer gardens and restaurant terraces and cafes, and hairdressers. People here haven't had their hair cut for 3 or 4 months. Since the second wave really started taking off back in December, people are literally queuing down the street to get their hair cut, also filling up pub beer gardens. Some places are booked out for 3, 4, 5 weeks solid because people are pretty bored of being locked up inside through a fairly cold and miserable winter. And now that spring is here and finally the COVID situation is looking a lot better, it's feeling like people are really ready to take advantage of that.
The Prime Minister have a warning that there will be more COVID deaths. We are partway, a significant way through your vaccination program, but an opening up will inevitably, what, lead to more infections?
Well, it does seem very likely for sort of basic epidemiological reasons that, yes, the more mixing there is, the more infections there are going to be. Obviously, in the UK, like the rest of Europe, we're not in anything like the situation in New Zealand. We're opening up with still 2,000, 3,000 infections a day. It's likely that will rise at some point in the next few months. But what we hope is that because nearly every, I think 95% of vulnerable people aged 50 or older, have now had at least one dose of the vaccine, the hope is that even when infections go up, as we think they will, that won't feed through to significantly larger numbers of hospitalizations and deaths. If you like, the inevitable link between infections and deaths has hopefully now been broken, but it's a nervous time the next few weeks as we see whether it works out as we all hope it does.
With the lobbying scandal, and there have been reports surrounding the former Prime Minister David Cameron at one point, but what is the wider story surrounding this?
Yeah, so this continues to spiral. It started with David Cameron lobbying his former colleagues on behalf of the Australian banker Lex Greensill. But it's what's emerged is that there's a real culture of not just politicians, but also civil servants moving very quickly and seamlessly between the private sector and the public sector. And it's now emerged, doing both at the same time. I think this has come as a big shock to a lot of people in the UK, but we've realised that senior civil servants are actually getting the green light to start doing private sector jobs while they're still employed by the state. It's of the potentials for a conflict of interest there are so obvious, so extreme, that there's a real reckoning of the cult, the sort of revolving door culture. And what happened a few hours ago is that the most senior civil servant, the cabinet secretary, has written to all of his colleagues, basically telling them to take a long, hard look at themselves in the mirror and work out if actually they're following not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law, in not mixing public service with private profit.
Has Mr. Cameron had anything to say about this? I was reading of journalists not having their calls returned, but has he made any public comment?
Yeah, he has finally. I'm one of many, many journalists who's tried desperately to get through to Cameron's spokesman and been rebuffed time and time again over the last few weeks. But on Sunday, he published a long, long statement. It was the classic sort of politician's non-apology apology. He insisted he hadn't done anything wrong, but said he was going to stop sending text messages to ministers because even though he says it wasn't against the rules, it looks pretty dodgy. And he said there were lots of errors in the coverage of what he's done. For example, denied that he was in line to get $60 million from Greensill if everything had gone well. But while saying that there were errors, he refused to actually correct them and say what the true facts were. So he intended that statement, I think, to be his first word on the issue, but also his last word on the issue. But it's not going away.
Hugo, thank you very much. Hugo Jai in the UK.